Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, what a privilege. Father, Lord, to have that call in our hearts, the desire, Lord, to serve you. Lord, has been said how precious that gift is, Lord. May we fan the flames, Lord. Lord, your calling and your coming is so close. Lord, bless us, I pray tonight. As you walk amongst us, may you just, Lord, just look in our hearts. Fill us tonight. Lord, may your will be done in everything that's said, I pray. Just draw us ever closer to you. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise in the precious name. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our little capstone books there. Page 5. I am determined.
When I first found Jesus, something o'er me rolled. Like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy, and took my fears away. And when I meet old Satan, to him I always sing, oh, I am determined.
I'm in the glory.
a little while.
Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage shall end. Oh, soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for
much He brought me in. His grace.
He brought me in. He brought me in. Oh, I praise God. He brought me in. Oh, look out
from the enemy, Lord, he'll be bound. Oh, God. So, Lord, getting where you look forward to it so much. Lord, the world loses its glitter, Lord. Father, we just get to where we pray, Lord, come quickly. Have your way in our lives. Lord, tonight as we gather together, pray that you would bless us with understanding and revelation of your word, Lord. Know where we stand in each and every life, know what we need. Lord, we just ask that you just reveal it to each and every heart. Lord, the needs that's on their hearts, Lord, our precious brothers and sisters, Lord, we're needing people. Father, we pray that you would just look down. Lord, touch, heal, supply needs, whatever it is, Lord. Father, it would help us on our journey. Serve you, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise for all of it. We thank you now. Yes. Father, bless the brother as he brings your word. Lord, just make it easy on him. Father, may he feel our pull, Lord, desiring, hungry for your word. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Something on your heart, you right there. Amen. All righty. Well, let's all stand then. We'll sing a little chorus, Only Believes. That's for brother to come. Amen.
Only believe.
precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for this little opportunity you've given us, Father, to come and to gather around your precious word. And Lord, before there was a moon or a star, you knew we would gather here this evening, Lord, and
yes,
you knew what would be spoken and you knew what would be said. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you this night, Lord, that your will would be done in all things. And just ask you to bless your word, Lord, and these few words will renew our minds too, Father, that it would stir our hearts in some way, help us to be better soldiers for you. And Lord, we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Thankful for an opportunity this evening to be here, and just praying I'll be able to say something that'll help us along our way. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles with me over to Romans, the 8th chapter, you're not going to hear anything different tonight, but just renew and refresh, praying that the Lord will strengthen these things to our hearts, maybe a little special way. Amen. But in Romans 8, and let's just read this 28th, 29th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Just thinking about these things, and it's upon my heart, and as we see the time we're living and see the age in which we're living and see the all that Satan is trying to do throughout the land and destroying God's great plan. And as we would, let's turn over here to Colossians and read this, refresh our minds to this scripture here in Colossians. And we'll start here about the 17th verse. The first chapter, Colossians 17th verse. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Yeah. That he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yeah. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Mm-hmm. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. As you think about all that God's great plan, and as we see where we are living at the end of an age and the end of all things are wrapping up. So we are a blessed people to be able to look back down through history and truly see God's great plan unfold.
Yes,
you know, I was listening today, that day at Calvary this morning, and listening to those things, and when you stop to think about that 4,000 years before Christ was crucified, then prophets began to start to prophesy that God's plan was in place. And seeing it, all that happening up to that time leading up to that, and seeing it, the manifestation of it come to pass, and then us being able to see that take place and be able to look back, and to be able to see all of the ages that have happened since, and to see it revealed, and to see the understanding that we have today of this great mystery that Christ had, this great purpose, his plan, that the reason he would predestinate a people to be conformed to his image. And to see this unfold before us, and, you know, Brother Branham, he made several comments, but just to renew our minds back to a couple places in the Christ is the mystery of God revealed, just to kind of make you think about it in the right direction, just for a moment here. But it's very familiar, but it was in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, preached July 28, 63, about paragraph 140. And the prophet said, notice God had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. And his great mystery secret he had before the world began, he got this threefold purpose in it. And we want to go up on that this morning. What is that threefold purpose? And I believe by the help of God who is present, he'll show it to us now. He had this threefold purpose, and we want to find out what is in this threefold purpose? And the first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. And we can look back now and we can say, we can see God did that up through. His whole plan is being laid out. We've seen him do it in each age. All the way to where we're standing today, we can see God has fulfilled his plan. And he says he couldn't do it in great Jehovah God who covered all space, time, and eternity. He could not do it. He was too great to ever be revealed to people because it was too mysterious. And how could that great being that never did begin, that after you went beyond the cycle of hundreds of billions, trillions, and trillions of light years of space, and on out into infinity and into eternity, and a great creature that's all that and still is. But he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood, for he was a father, and the only way that he could express it was to become a son, a man. And that's the reason Jesus kept saying the Son of Man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them, but now you get it. See, he wanted to express himself. And that was his one great threefold purpose, was to express himself, identify himself with the human beings, to reveal himself in Christ, and secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in a people. Yes. And we are blessed today that we can see this has taken place. God sent a prophet in this age to break the word down to us and to restore all these things that have been mixed up down through time, different ideas, different ways of looking at it. And God has restored to us the fullness of the word. And it's laying here before us, and it's of no private interpretation. But God himself does the interpreting as he fills that predestinated few that he predestinated to be conformed to his image. As they realize and recognize their purpose, and the go and follow Acts 2:38, repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That prescription hasn't changed, and it's still today, and it's evident that when that happens, just as it did in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit will manifest the works of the Holy Ghost through a people today, just as it did then. And that people in the book of Acts, they called them Christians. And today we call them Christians. And we look around us today and we see so many and all kinds of churches, all kinds of buildings, and all kinds of things. You might call yourself a Baptist, Methodist, Mennonite, Amish. It don't matter. Might call yourself a message believer and follow the teachings of William Branham. But the word Christian, as the prophet said, is a Christ and somebody that is truly Christ-like. Yes, and you know, Jesus was able, when he was here, to stand and say, who can condemn me of sin? And who can say that I have not fulfilled those scriptures that were spoken of me? Amen. And today, we're, by his mercy and grace, and what he has predestinated and placed down inside of that little elected, there is a special chosen people today that can have the same testimony, just as Enoch did before his translation, that they please God in their life, in their actions, and in their work. And you know, we see this as many people call themselves Christians, and many people go to church. We gather in here tonight, and each one of us, as we gather in, we call ourselves Christians. But the truth of the matter is Christ truly reflected and manifested through each one of us. It don't matter what name's on the door of the church. It don't matter on how good we dress to get here, or how nice we look, or how good we sing. It don't matter. It don't matter how faithful I am in little things or some things. But it's all things must be Christ-like in our life. The fullness of the word has come, and the fullness of that word has got to be living in a people today. You know, Brother Branham, he put it in Christ as the mystery of God revealed just a little bit farther over or before, as we were saying. Just to think about it, it was about paragraph 135. He said, so many people take a confession and say, this is paragraph 135. He said, it's got to the place now, are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. Well, that's a long ways from being and making yourself known as a Christian. Look what the Methodist does. I'm a Baptist. Well, look what the Baptist does. I'm Catholic. Look what they do. But the only way you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. And how we've got some, a stinger there, he says. And each one of us as an individual has got to truly apply this to ourselves and weigh out our daily, what did the life that I live today, who did I live it for? Did I live it for myself and what I could gain? Or did I live it for Christ and what he would have in my life? And each purpose, each circumstance, everything I face in life, every obstacle. There's every, just, you know, it happens. Life is set to be that way. You're talking to somebody at a cash register. You meet somebody at the gas station. Somebody sees you on the highway. Your life is reflected fully every day. Yeah. It's open for display. And what do people see? You know, Brother Branham often said, he said, if you were arrested, would they have enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? And it pays us to think about these things and to weigh our lives and our desires and our motives and objectives and where is our true love and our true longing in life. But he goes on here to say, he says, but the only way you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. And how we've got some thing there, you can drop down. He says, you say I'm Pentecostal, that don't mean a thing. It's Christ identified in you. That's when he recognized you. You say I've spoken with tongues, devil does too. I've shouted, the Mohammedans, the Buddhas, everything shouts. The Indians scream at the snake dance. See, sure, they all do, cults, clans, and everything else, scream and holler. And they holler and shout at a baseball game. But when Christ is identified in you, identifying himself, then you are Christ-like, which the word Christian means to be Christ-like, and there is your identification, all right? And since he's our identification, then we should be identified by living for him. And you know, each one of us, we all have the opportunity to weigh ourselves up. Even as I'm renewing our minds to these things tonight, it's not for me to say, well, you're not being a Christian. No, it's God's word. Each one of us weigh ourselves in that balance. Yes. Each one of us take what's being read. I'm just a voice that's rehearsing tonight what the Lord laid upon my heart to bring back to our attention. But as we renew these things, do we truly take God that seriously at his word? You know, everybody wants to go to church and everybody wants to be a Christian. But is there a focus truly for what we've been sent for? Looking for that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his soon return. You know, we just go through an election and my, things have been in turmoil and now things seem to be, you guys still got both sides all up in arms. Some think life's going to be grand now. Some thinks it's not so great. But you know, it doesn't matter to a true believer of Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Branham made the comment he voted one time in his life and he voted for Jesus Christ. Now, that might have been a metaphor. Maybe he did vote somewhere else. I don't know. I'm not saying he didn't. But he was just making a statement trying to show he's not a citizen of this world and how it pays for us to truly realize we're not of this world. We've been sent and called for a purpose. And every aspect of our life is here for his purpose and for his benefit, for his glory, and not for myself, not what I can get out of this life. You know, while we're here, we're human beings. We've been placed here. We're going to keep continuing what it takes to maintain life and go on. But that is all secondary to the first love that was placed in the heart of that little bride when she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When her desires were changed, her passions, her drives, everything about her was focused to one thing, to be pleasing to Jesus Christ. And oh, how much it... As our pastor was bringing Sunday, some of the things he was, and as you go back and listen to the full message this day at Calvary, if you haven't listened to it for a long time, it'd be something good to go and listen to. As the prophet was really talking about that automatic life and how it truly is something that you don't have to work at, you don't have to try. It comes with the price that was paid. That's why that sacrifice was made. And oh my, what a joy it ought to place in our hearts to see what he done for me and the love affair that it creates, how it should truly be such a spark in my life, not to measure up against some church or some denomination or think I'm better because I've accepted one thing, but to measure up against the one thing that the prophet said he's going to judge this world by right here. And as long as I find my name written in the pages of that Bible and in the pages of this precious word, I've got nothing to worry about. And as Brother Branham made the reference to the old boy, he said, I don't want no trouble when I come down to the river. I want to know that ticket's in my hand. And that's where we're standing tonight. That's the opportunity we've been given to come in around God's precious word and to hear it renewed to us. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, listen to the things that God has placed here. And as it comes back, you know, Peter, he always said, I will not, even though you know these things, be negligent to always make them, bring them to your remembrance. Oh my, and Paul, how many times did he say he stirred the people up with tears and just making sure they understood and it was renewed, that it was always fresh in their mind to the purpose they were sent for. And oh, I think it behooves us tonight to renew our minds and to stay fresh. That, Lord, I've been sent here for a purpose, and let this world fade away. Don't let me get my eyes all entangled on what's going on around me and what's taking place. But your word ever holds true. You said you would return and you would clean this old earth off with fire. And by God's grace, we believe it's going to happen.
Yes,
amen. And the day could be tomorrow. It could be a few years away. I don't know what God's going to do. But I want to be ready at that moment.
Amen.
Whenever it is, I want to make sure that the evidence that was said in here is living in my life. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It says here, let me see. I'll skip over a couple of these. Amen. Because, and this was in the Message Identification, February 16th, 1964, and I didn't bring it with me, but it's Brother Branham made reference to it many times, that little bride would be properly identified.
Yes.
You know, her life would be a written word upon word, line upon line,
yes,
precept upon precept, and it would show forth exactly the life that he lived. It would reproduce. But here in the Message Identification, in paragraph 33, he says, if you say I'm a Christian and I do not believe in doing, and he pauses, he says, I believe all that God said is truth, and then live any kind of life after that, your life speaks louder than your testimony does. And you know that's one of the greatest hindrances that the Church of God has. The bootlegger, the gambler, them people, we all know which way they are headed. They know themselves. But the fellow that professes to be a Christian, the woman that professes to be a Christian, and then lives something different, it's the greatest stumbling block that the outside world has got. And that there is the outside world anywhere. It's worse than anything the world can produce as a person that's supposed to be a Christian and then lives something else different from that. Lying, stealing, cheating, and doing those things that he ought not to do is a discredit to his testimony. When you take people that do those things there, our character is molded in there by the life that is in us. And how many times did the prophet say, if you take the life of Beethoven and put it in me, the works of Beethoven I would do. And how it may seem simple, if you took the life from a pumpkin vine and put it in a watermelon, it would bear pumpkins.
Yes.
The life will bear and reproduce itself. Mm. And how it ought to be our greatest striving in life to see that life reproduced in each in me. To see my life bearing fruit. That I would be the salt of the earth, as he said. But if the salt's lost its savor. But I don't want to be in that category, but I want to be one, as he's talked about the little honey pot that all the bears wanted to get around and lick on. That's where I want to be. I want my life to be that sweet. I want my life to be that overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And with being walking in the Spirit and being in tune with the Spirit, that whatever the Holy Spirit wants, I would be open and be able to be in a position that you could let the Holy Spirit work. You know, as I was listening to, I believe it was in The Choosing of a Bride. And Brother Branham, it's just a small comment he made, but he was talking about, right before he started the prayer line, how he had went down and prayed for someone and they were raised from the dead. But he made mention of a sister that had passed away and when he wasn't home. And the brothers at the tabernacle went down and laid hands and gathered around and prayed for her, and she was healed and raised up.
Amen.
But his comment was they were consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. They were in tune with the Spirit. They weren't just out goofing and their life in shambles. No, they were in tune with the Spirit and what the Holy Spirit was doing for the time and the place.
Amen.
And God was able to use them in a mighty way.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean that we are going to go do miracles and maybe raise someone from the dead. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about our life being in tune with the Spirit in that manner.
Amen.
That it might be a kind word. It might be the right word at the right time. That God can express himself through me, through you. And it might be the simplest thing. It might be something that you just did so automatically that you never even thought about that grabs somebody's attention and that says, oh my, they've got something that I need. And oh my, may we be a people that's in that position tonight. Amen. It's simple things, but things to think about. When you think about the life Christ lived and you go back in Acts and you look at all the things that was done through those apostles. Paul down in that old jail and beaten, and him and Silas lay in there. But even in their midst of their heaviest trials, they could sing and had enough they were in the Spirit enough that they realized when the Holy Spirit moved and shook that old jail, they were in tune in time to say and to let the Holy Spirit work, that those scriptures that were recorded of that jailer and his family being saved could be written in that word. Expressing God's life when in every situation. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter where you are. It might be your darkest valley. It might be the lowest point in your life. But he said he would have the preeminence in that predestinated body of believers. And oh my, by God's grace, I want to find myself in that number. Amen. Let me see here. Well, I'll read these two quotes together. I think he was speaking, and is your life worthy of the gospel? This is paragraph 151. And it just pays us to always remember this. He said, did you know you're a little creator yourself? You know that? Certainly. You've seen people that you just love to be around and you don't know why, just that loving type of person. Have you seen that? Just as kind. And you like to be around them, and they create that atmosphere by the life they live, the way they talk, their conversation. And then you see those every time you shun them, all the time. They want to talk about something evil, talk about somebody, and say, oh my, there they come. They're going to criticize somebody there. He's in here now. He's going to talk about this man. All they're going to do is tell dirty jokes, something about women, something like that. You just hate to get around them. See, they create seemingly pretty nice people, but they create an atmosphere. And the things that you think on and the things that you do, the actions and the things you talk about, creates an atmosphere. The things you even think on are creating an atmosphere and you're around you. It's really something to think about as you meditate upon it. Yes. And he says, I went into a man's office here in the city, and that man is a trustee or a deacon. It's a fine church. And I went in there to see the man about business. There's a radio over there with rock and roll or twist or whatever it was. He said, just as hard as it could go. There was about 40 pinups in his office of nude women. And you can't tell me how much of a deacon or how much more. You let me see what you look at, what you read, and the kind of music you listen to, the crowd you associate with, and I'll tell you what kind of a spirit is in you, see? Yeah. Yes. You hear a guy say, me do so-and-so, and that bunch, just remember, I don't care what he says. His words speak louder. His actions speak louder than anything he could say. He could testify and say he's a Christian, sure. Maybe do anything. But you just watch what kind of life he lives, and that tells what he is. And as you renew our minds to these things, keep that automatic life in your mind. Yes. Think about it. It's Christ in you manifesting himself. Yes. Didn't the prophet say he comes in and lives by himself? Amen. Yes, amen. When you've been born again, it's his personality. It's his life in you expressing. He will take this body under subjection to his Holy Spirit. Yes. Amen. Sometimes we want to make excuses for ourselves because we're human. I'm in this flesh. Yes, the prophet said we're going to make mistakes, and we will. But I do believe that the Holy Ghost is stronger than any human body, any human will, and any human flesh. And God will have that preeminence of a people that will live that life so sweet in this day. Look at our prophet that was here in this last age. Look at the testimonies that rang out of people that were around him, how humble, how his life was lived, and how he conducted himself. And it was evident that Christ was living in him. And that same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, living in a body of believers today. That was his day. This is your day. Amen. To see Jesus Christ manifested in you personally. A personal revelation, as the prophet says here. In the Go Wake Jesus, he says, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful, paragraph 134, this was preached November 3rd, 63. He said, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if the church could only settle on that? That what the Bible said a Christian would do and what he would be. Oh my, how I think of that. Jesus said to them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. They tell you what I am. I don't have to say I'm Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever. The life you live, the words of God, if you were a part of that living word, how can you deny what you are? And how can the word keep from confirming what you are, if you are. Amen. Amen. It's simple how he puts things together sometimes. Yes. How can a sheep be asked to manufacture wool? He can't manufacture wool as long as he's a sheep. He will bear wool because he is a sheep. Amen. And a man don't have to work up nothing if he's a Christian. He is because he is.
Yes.
That's what he's made up of. He's a Christian by nature.
Yes.
And an apple tree is an apple tree because it's an apple tree. A peach tree is a peach tree because it's a peach tree. It sounds like he's just repeating himself, but if you just listen to the simplicity of what God is trying to express to us, give me your body, surrender it to me as a living sacrifice, and watch me perform the work in there that I've predestinated you to. And a Christian is a Christian because Christ lives in that person and makes Christian means Christ-like, not a membership, but a vindication. God producing through you just what a Christian is. It's you getting out of the way and letting God come in, and you taking no thoughts, but let the mind that was in Christ be in you. There you are. That's a real Christian, he says. Amen.
Yeah.
You sisters can come to the instruments. I won't hold you real long. Amen. But how we ought to just meditate upon these things greater.
Yeah.
And truly stop and take inventory of our lives. You know, it's the simple scriptures that even as Jesus said, he that loveth the things of the world, the love of the Father is not even in him.
Yes.
Do we, you know, the American people, they, or the Christians we'll call it, of this world have decided all kinds of things, whether it be how women dressed or what men can go do, or they've changed the framework of what this Bible said.
Yes.
And you know, it's striking how many people will hold this up and claim to believe it, but there's so much that they leave out.
Amen.
And you know, we can be the same way. We can take almost all of it, having had a prophet, but what if we just leave out one line?
Yes.
It's the same as leaving it all out.
Yes,
and how we must truly weigh ourselves as individuals, because somebody was predestinated. Somebody was meant to be conformed to the very image of his son. Somebody's life is going to match these examples of a Christian that the prophet left. You know, it's easy to claim to be a Christian. It's easy to say I go to church. It's easy to say I follow the prophet's message. But how much of that message is making me a written epistle read of all men, showing forth that Christ is manifesting and vindicating his own word back through me, back through you, not in great signs and wonders, but in everyday living, my life. As that little woman swept the floor singing, must Jesus bear the cross alone, while her husband was yelling and screaming? All these examples down through that we've had, Jesus Christ expressing himself through human flesh. Amen. Oh my, what a kind word. You know, you think about the prophet. Some of his greatest sermons was preached wearing bloody squirrel clothes and maybe having a couple days growth of beard on his face out there meeting somebody along the way. When you think about what it was God was able to do, does that mean we all get beards and hats and old jeans and just go around? No. God had a place and a time for that. And God may have a place and a time for you to be at that right spot. But will we be in tune enough, and will our life be a vindication enough?
Yes.
That what, no matter what I say with this, they'll be able to see that vindication come forth, showing that Jesus Christ is manifesting his word again today. Amen.
Yes.
Something to think about. I pray you can take a few nuggets from it, a little Thursday evening service, and praying that something was said that maybe caused you to go back and listen to another message, go back and study up, maybe go say, I'm going to make sure whether or not he said that right. Amen.
Amen.
I do it too. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to go and dig in God's precious word.
Yes,
you can never dig too much in there. Amen.
Right.
And may we continue to dig. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Aren't you so glad
Hallelujah.
For what he's done for you?
Lord,
amen.
Yes.
As we ask our pastor to come, I wonder if we couldn't sing that little chorus. Look what he's done for me. Amen. I can't get the title right. Brother Kevin. Boy, I can hear it in my brain. Amen. That's terrible. Amen. It is. Just a little bit. Amen. It was right there, and then it went away. Hallelujah. My soul cries out, hallelujah, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, amen, hallelujah. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and just what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah.
saved. Amen. So thankful for the Word of God and what it means to us as individuals. As we sit here tonight and listen to these things, what was there in there tonight that spoke to our hearts? You know, there's many things that spoke to my heart. And just, you know, you see by God's grace an identification coming forth in your own personal life. And you're so appreciative of that. And that's what gives you that assurance. That's what that token does, is give you that assurance. When you see that token apply in your life and you know that Christ is living in you, oh, blessed assurance. Amen. Yeah, I couldn't help but think too, you know, I was thinking about the things Brother Timothy was saying and thinking again what Brother Branham said on that day at Calvary and about it being automatic and so forth. I was thinking about, now here we all are here gathered today, or this evening, I should say. I don't think, at least, there's anybody in here tonight, and maybe listening in tonight, that had to make yourself eat, unless you're physically sick or something like that, where you've lost that natural hunger. But by nature, by our physical nature, and our makeup as being a physical body, we hunger. We need food. And so we ate today. We didn't try to make ourselves eat, but we ate because we got hungry. And I thought, you know, if we could just, you know, that's so automatic. I mean, it's so automatic to be hungry. Okay, it's so automatic to get thirsty. And if we all could just have that kind of hunger just automatically come every day in our life, just constantly be there, that constant thirst. No wonder he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But just come automatically. Not try, you know, you think, well, I better read the Word of God today because I should. No. I better pray because I should. I better sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord because I should. Just comes automatically. Oh my, because it's something God placed in there. And oh, it's just so blessed to have in this hour. When you know you don't have to make yourself a Christian, but it just comes out. Amen. You live. God wants you to live. That's what Paul was meaning when he said, I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And how true that should be in our own individual lives. So automatically. Amen. We're thankful for being here tonight. How about you?
Amen.
So thankful that God gave us this opportunity. Let us all bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we again, truly from the depths of our heart, we appreciate this wonderful opportunity you give us this evening. Now, Lord, there wasn't a lot of people here, and Father, this is not a very big place. Lord, that's not always it. But Lord, sometimes you come down and even take care of the little places, Lord. And Father, we appreciate all the times that you do. You come, Lord, and renewed our minds back to the Word of God through a precious brother. Stirring our minds through the way of the Word, of bringing it back to our attention. And Lord, by doing so, our souls is feeding on it. And we just appreciate that so much. Because Lord, it's our life. It's what we desire. It's what we hunger for. And we're so thankful that you put that hunger in our hearts. So thankful you put the thirst down inside. We're so thankful. No wonder Apostle Paul said, be thankful for all things. We should be, Lord. So we just ask you, as we part from this little place this evening, that you just can go with us and keep us safe on the highways. Bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. May we come expecting and praying, and Lord, with open hearts, open minds, and Lord, you can speak to us and feed our precious soul. We thank you for your grace and mercy now. Just go with each one, and Father, we just want to give you the praise for everything in our lives. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Can we sing one more little chorus before we leave? Because of all that he does, we'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Amen. We'll give.